Blog Talk Radio.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myths of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and victims legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce. Well, hello and welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show. For those of you that may not know, I am your host, Nick Pierce. I am a full-time barefooter of over 15 plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of NP Media Group. I did a radio show quite a few years ago called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also the victim advocate standing up for the human rights that we as barefooters have. I'm also the executive producer of an up-and-coming barefoot documentary slated for major network release. If you want to be a part of the show, just call in. The call-in number is 319-527-6208. And we also have our live chat room open where I'm hanging out. I'm ready to take questions and listen to your comments. Our chat room is at freedomizerradio.com. Just sign in there. Also, check out our Facebook page and our Facebook group. That's Barefoot is Legal. You can interact with other members of the barefoot community throughout our broadcast and after. Just join our group if you have not joined already and you're a barefooter out there. Again, on Facebook, that's Barefoot is Legal. Now, keep in mind, though, this is not a fetish community. So for you heavy breathing fun seekers out there that think that you're going to get in there just to get your rocks off on foot pictures, no, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, Now it's time to kick off your shoes, if you're wearing them or have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. Now, of course, I've said this before, many of us have many different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. For those of you that are seasoned barefooters, you have stories, give us a call. We want to hear your experiences. For those of you that are new in the barefoot community or starting it for the first time, feel free to give us a call. We'd like to hear how you're making any transition and what your experiences are. Also, for you experienced barefooters out there, it'd be great to share your stories with those that are new to the whole lifestyle. What are your issues that you run into in stores, restaurants, gyms, libraries, or other establishments barefoot? Maybe you may not have any at all. I know it's been a long time since I have. But, of course, there's always some overzealous employee saying something to you if they do. And most of you may have educated them and stood up for your rights. But we want to hear about it. What are your techniques? Because I have a lot to share with you today. What are your reasons? And what are their objections from people that don't understand why we do it? Why, when I don't get some ton of email and messages or even topics brought up in different groups and pages asking about the health department myth or signs that still exist out there on a small scale, though, even to this day? See, it does seem like it's one of the most common ones, the health department. This is an old classic that gets thrown at us once in a while. So I want to put this one in the front of all the other business we have this week. This way you can go back and listen to it. I know I've mentioned it before in the past, but I know that there's been such a huge volume lately, just between some emails, messages, and all that, just on Facebook and other platforms, about the health department. Well, first of all, the health department does not have any rules against bare feet when it comes to patrons. In fact, most health departments, if you search all their health department codes, don't even have anything when it comes to footwear, when it comes to employees. And I do say rules, not laws. See, the health department does not pass laws. Now, what's the difference? Well, local agencies, boards, organizations, etc., may make rules for like other organizations to follow. Laws are passed by legislators. So we can clear that one up right there. One of the major functions of a state's health department is to promote good health, not create unhealthy or harmful situations to force on people. So as most of us may know, and research has proven that shoes lead to a lot of different health issues and injuries. So how does this myth start? Many of you may have heard me say before, and you've probably done your research and have been reading if you've gotten to the point where you're listening to this broadcast already, but back in the 70s, businesses did not want hippies and poor black people in their establishments. So these gutless and hateful business owners hid behind state agencies claiming that it was, quote, a health department law. And this ignorant misinformation spread just like any nasty rumor. Now, of course, Barefoot is Legal, our group, this radio show and all that is here to help dispel those myths, educate you, and empower you so when you have issues like this, you know how to handle it. See, it all comes down to what I was talking about last week, about misrepresentation, how businesses may misrepresent an agency in claiming that things are true, which also leads to fraud. So, I mean, we can go back and look at the differences. But, I mean, really it all comes down to what people's beliefs are, as I've mentioned, and discrimination, which is just the unjust or prejudicial treatment of a different category of people or things. And oppression is just the prolonged, cruel, and unjust treatment or control of those people or group of people. See, it all comes down to prejudice. A person is prejudiced when they have formed an attitude towards a particular social group of people before having enough information to even form a knowledgeable opinion. See, I was doing a little research, and I remember a long time ago when I was in school studying, and I remember hearing a story about the allegory of the cave. It was a piece written by Plato, And Plato was a Greek philosopher from 300, almost 420 something BC. Don't hold me to those numbers, though. This is not a philosophy lesson. This is not a history lesson in this segment. But Plato, the philosopher, had this piece called The Allegory of the Cave. See, Plato and Socrates, another great philosopher, Socrates was actually Plato's teacher, described a group of people who have lived chained to a wall in a cave all their lives. Now, they faced a blank wall. The people that were chained facing a blank wall watched shadows projected on that wall from objects passing in front of a fire that was lit behind them. Now, these people sat there looking at this wall and these shadows that were being projected in front of them, never seeing what was really happening behind them. They only saw these shadows. Well, these people chained to the wall eventually started to give these things names. They started to believe that these things were the real, were the reality around them. If they've never seen people or they've never seen anything different, this became their reality. Now, Socrates went on in this story, and the philosopher was like a prisoner. Now, once you freed them from the cave, they did not understand what they were seeing. And the prisoners that all of a sudden believed that the shadows were reality saw what was really making the shadows, and they were terrified. See, fear and oppression are just like that. People are brought up to believe that what they are told or what they see, such as those health department signs, reality, that that may be the law, because that's the way it's always been presented to them, until they actually turn around, open up their eyes, and realize that that's not really true. And like most of the prisoners in the cave, once they saw what reality really was, they couldn't handle it. Well, folks, there are a lot of people out there that may think that we, as barefooters, for whatever reasons we are wrong, because it doesn't agree with their reality that they believe in. So that's a hurdle and an obstacle to overcome. See, because our beliefs are the primary determination of what we do and feel, and even what we perceive, all prejudice can be traced to our beliefs. See, people who are convinced that African-American or Muslims or gays are not as good as them, those are usually white heterosexual Americans. And they express their beliefs about those people. So, again, for example, just like if someone's been taught all their life that it's illegal, then they believe that to be true. See, when someone's brought up to think that someone of another color is bad, they believe that they are right, even though they're wrong, because that's racism. When someone is brought up to believe that someone is a sinner or unclean because they are attracted to the same sex, they think that that person is evil, unholy. Oh my God, they're going to burn in hell. It's a sin. In reality, the people that are ridiculing and criticizing these people are the hypocrites for not believing in the book, the word, that very same Bible that tells them to love everyone. Now, I know this one can open up a can of worms, but before you call in and hit me over the head with your scripture verses, don't even try. There's a line that says, do to others as I would do to myself. Now, don't tell me that because I wear shoes, everybody else has to wear them. No, you don't have a right to do that. Just like I don't have a right to make you believe anything differently. You can either believe the truth or you don't when it comes to the context of this show. But I have a right whether to wear them or not, and I choose not to. Now, I have my reasons for it, and other people here in the community do. But no, you don't. You don't have that right. Don't even try. I can see the messages lighting up right now, and that phone board. You have no right to tell anybody how to live their life. You have a right to enjoy your right to live your own life. So don't infringe on someone else's. You know, they don't need to live your life. You can walk around with the crosses around your Christian neck, kippahs on your Jewish heads, burqas wrapped around your Muslim faces all you want. Pass out your prayer cards, pamphlets, flyers, wherever you want on the streets. Don yourself in robes, hand out flowers at the airports. Keep doing what you do peacefully. Educate the masses just like we are. Let them know your beliefs, your culture. You have a right to do so. But see, now no one's really throwing you out of stores. No one's making you move to the back of the bus anymore. We, the unshod, have a right to walk among you without the hate that people face, without the hate that everybody faced at one time or another. We need to move past that. We have a right to peacefully educate, pass out our flyers too. We will make a statement just like you did. We're a movement. We just want to be socially acceptable because of our religious, cultural, medical, health, and lifestyle choices, or the need for being barefoot. So think about that one when you're out and about. We have a great show planned for you today. We actually have a new co-host that's going to be joining me today. And I also have some material as far as another segment of how we handle them. And I'd like to bring Lava into the show right now. Lava is a full-time barefooter. She made a brief appearance on one of our previous shows. And Lava, as one of the new co-hosts of the Barefoot is Legal radio show, I'd like to welcome you to our show. Again, if anybody wants to call in and speak with either Lava or I, 319-527-6208. Welcome aboard. How are you doing today?
Hi, Nick. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited about being on today. And I am a full-time barefooter. So I enjoy the barefoot lifestyle. I enjoy educating managers and customers alike when they speak up against me being barefoot, too.
Well, I'm glad having you on the show. There's been a lot of talk about you coming in to join us. And I know you made a brief appearance about a week or so ago. And for those of our listeners that were not listening then, or just tuning in and listening to you for the first time, tell us a little about your barefoot lifestyle, why, how long, and all that. What's the nuts and bolts of it?
Been enjoying barefoot for probably 5 or 6 years. I've been a barefooter probably my whole life, except for wearing shoes and when I absolutely had to as a child, too. And I enjoy going barefoot. My feet are my shoes now. They repair themselves, so that's just wonderful. And I don't even own any shoes anymore. I enjoy going barefoot. I do it for religious reasons, for personal reasons, for health reasons, for all kinds of reasons. And I love to educate people and, you know, on why they should go barefoot and how damaging shoes are to their feet. You know, and it's amazing that the people, they believe there's laws out there and there's not. And I like to educate them against that, too. And teach them.
It's almost like they were chained up in a cave, but we are here to educate them.
Yeah, they just been told it their whole life, so they believe it.
Liberate their minds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Liberate their minds, I guess.
Liberate their minds. From the peanut gallery in the background, and glad to have a little bit of a live audience there with us as well. That's always exciting
to
have.
Yeah, that's Raven Hills, the barefoot group, too.
Oh, great. And so how long have you been a full-time barefooter?
Full-time for 2 years, 2+ years. Last year in winter, I was in Colorado, and so I did have a pair of moccasins I had made for me, and I wore them here and there, but I was still pretty much full-time barefoot up there. Yeah.
That's great. Where do you live geographically? I mean, we don't need our heavy-breathing fun seekers to stalk you down by the city, but
I live in Central Texas.
Central Texas. That's great. Yeah. All your life, or it stays pretty warm down there. It's reasonable.
Yeah, all my life, except for the 10 months that I was in Colorado last year. Yeah.
Got it. And so what made you transition?
Foot problems. I had falling arches is what they said, and I went to foot doctors, and they gave me shots in the bottom of my feet, And I started doing research like, man, something's not right. Why is this happening? You know, I have really high arches anyway, and so I was having a lot of pain when I was walking, and they wanted me to wear these orthodontic-type shoes and stuff, and I didn't like them. And so I started researching, and I learned. I come across the Barefoot is Legal group on Facebook, and I learned the laws and realized that there is none. And so I finally said, you know, that's it. I'm not going to wear shoes again. And so that's what I did. But, yeah,
so
once I learned there was really no laws and figured that out, you know, that was the point for me where I said no more.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be most people's obstacle or most people's hurdle.
Yeah.
Their belief that there is a law or some rule or something in the land that says that everybody has to walk around in foot coffins. And,
right.
You know, there are a lot of people that can't, that they cannot do it. But they suffer every day doing it. Like, I'm sure you were probably suffering with your medical issues.
I was.
Having to go through that.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
And since I've been a full-time barefooter, my feet do not cause me any more pain. And I feel so much better health-wise also.
I'm sure. I was in the same boat many years ago. I never really liked shoes to begin with. And I was studying different religions in college. And I found one that I drew attached to. And I just wanted to, you know, experience that. And part of one of the things was you give up something for the rest of your life. And so for me, that was easy. I never liked shoes, so I gave those up. However, I was working a job and I wore like sandals or something minimalist. Eventually, I got hurt pretty bad and my back and neck got messed up. I was out of work for so long that I never had to wear shoes. Well, the condition cleared itself up. I no longer needed medication. I no longer needed, you know, the surgery that they recommended, which they claim only would have a 10% success rate anyway. But in my time out of work, when I go to my follow-up appointments and I'd start going barefoot, I was barefoot everywhere. The doctors, oh, do you need another refill? You need another refill? You know, I was like, nope. I haven't even taken the stuff from last month and then haven't even taken the stuff from 2 months ago. And it just progressed from there. And they were amazed. And he said, you know, I guess the best course of treatment is to remain barefoot. And so
right.
It also became a bit of a medical thing for me, too. And I got to tell you, I'm not taking any medicine. I don't need any, you know, it's been probably over 7 or 8 years now where I have not had to take anything. No more surgeries. I got rid of the last pair of anything I really had on my feet over 12 years ago. And I, you know, remarkably got better.
That's good, yeah. And I think that's going to be a common thing if people start going barefoot more, you know, and realize that they can, that they're going to, their health is going to improve, you know.
Yeah.
It's strange, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, our job here is not to destroy the fashion industry. I mean, our job here is not to destroy, you know, anything like that, products on the market. I mean, our job here is pretty much just to say that, you know, people cannot, and they have a right. And they're protected when they cannot. So
right.
I know that I get some hate mail about that in a while, so I just want to throw that one out there. So
yeah.
Those 15 people that send me those the hate mail weekly about that, now they can go drop. So
right.
Yep.
You know, it's one thing if somebody else wants to wear shoes, but it's my right to not have to and not be discriminated or anything against me, kicked out of a store because of it. And the ignorance of, I would say the ignorance of the law, but the ignorance of the lack of the law, you know, because there is no law about it, but people believe that there is. And they
yeah.
just don't understand, even whenever you sit there and try to tell them, you know, I've called them out. Show me in the books. You know, I tell them, go get me your manual and show me where you say I have to wear shoes in here. Show me. Well, I don't know where it's at in there. Well, okay, then you can't tell me it's there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If they don't know where it is, then how do they know it's there? You know, I mean, that's
right.
Just crazy when they do that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're right. And that's our job here. Now, you also mentioned a little bit about the religious thing. Do you care to touch on that? Or?
It doesn't matter to me. I connect through energy in the earth, being barefoot, and I personally took a vow to never wear shoes again on my feet. And so because it impairs that in my belief. I consider myself a hedge witch, and I do a lot with herbal healing and energy healing, and so to keep that focus there, I vowed never to wear shoes again.
Great. So 2 years, and you said that you had to wear shoes at a certain point. What was that about?
Well, whenever, you know, once I found out that there was no laws, that's whenever I took them off full time, you know. But, and up until then, I'd only wear them, like, if I went to work or drove, because I thought you had to have shoes on to drive, too, like many other people. And once I learned that you didn't, then I stopped, you know. I did wear moccasins last year in Colorado. Negative 20 can be a little harsh on some new little barefoot toesies, you know. And so I had a pair made for me.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I did a great episode a couple weeks ago about just the transition into the cold weather. And I mentioned that it's almost like when you have, you know, most people start when it starts to get warm and they kick their shoes off and they, you know, they wear the open toe shoes or they just decide they're going to go barefoot for the first time and they like it and they just never put their shoes back on and their body adjusts. And that's the big thing, adjusting, and your body adjusts with the seasons. So when you start in the spring, when it starts to get warm, and then, you know, your feet get conditioned for the hotter surfaces, and then into the fall, your body will adjust and your feet will adjust to the surfaces getting colder. Eventually through the fall, if you can make it into the winter, that's great. Not everybody can. And, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you got to give in sometimes, you know, especially when it comes to your own health. Because, you know, frostbite and, you know, hypothermia and all that are issues. And if your body doesn't adjust to it well, you know, you gotta be careful. It may not be for everybody. But, you know, hey, it never hurts to try. So now you're going on to your second year, over two years now.
Yeah.
Have you been able to handle the winter, or has it been
a little bit
of a challenge?
I've been really surprised because the coldest it's been down here, I think, has been like 12 degrees. And it was like that for about 4 or 5 days. And I did not even need a jacket. I wear skirts all the time. And I was able to go barefoot, you know, the whole winter so far, and we're still in it, and have no problem. And my body temperature actually seems to stay more regulated so that I don't get cold. And other people are freezing, and I'm like, I'm sitting here with a short sleeve shirt and a skirt on, you know, and barefoot and perfectly fine temperature.
Telling you, your body adjusts. It really does. And we can talk more about that after the break at the top of the hour. We're coming up to our top of the hour break now, so we're going to have to cut away briefly. But when we come back, we're going to have more from Lava. We also have some callers online. And I know we have our friend Kevin who's hanging out in the wings. He always has some great stories to share with us. So hang in there. 319-527-6208 if you want to be a part of the Barefooters Legal Show. And with me here today is Lava, my co-host. I'm Nick Chris, and we'll be right back.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, everyone. Here's a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. Save Around is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With Save Around, you get buy one, get one free restaurants, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With Save Around, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us. And if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out FreedomizerRadio.com and our BarefootIsLegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
And welcome back.
Pitt Pierce with my co-host, Lava, on the Barefoot is Legal radio show. To be a part of it, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Check us out on our Facebook page, Barefoot is Legal, and also our Facebook group. Again, if you want to join the group, it is a place for those that live a barefoot lifestyle. So if you are one of those heavy-breathing fun seekers, don't think that you can just join the group just to look at foot pictures and get your rocks off. This is not a fetish community. We are here to empower you to dispel the myths of what people think and earn our rights and fight for our rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. So again, 319-527-6208. And we're back on the air with Lava, the co-host today. And hey, I'm going to open the floor to you and, you know, hey. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, we're back on here. I want to talk for a minute about people maybe that are newcomers and maybe wondering where some good places are to start going barefoot. And I was trying to think of suggestions, and I was thinking maybe farmers markets would be good. I know I enjoy going to farmers markets and picking out all the fresh vegetables and talking to people there who grow their own things. I love being in my garden barefoot also. And there's a lot of other people I usually find at the farmers markets who are barefoot or have questions about it, you know. So that's always fun. I think farmers markets would be a good place for people to start going barefoot out in public.
Oh, definitely.
Another thing, I have problems with businesses sometimes, so I like to educate them. Businesses will tell you there's health codes, and we talked about that already. There is none, but they want to try to pull it up and say they are, and they don't like it whenever you try to tell them there's not.
And when they try to pull it up, of course, they've been unsuccessful with that because there
are
none.
Right. There is none, and I guess it's easier to fool people than to try to get them to believe the truth. So, and they've been fooled thinking that there is. So.
That's true. They grew up in their cave looking at shadows all their life.
Right. Yeah. I hear there's a lot of marches going on today. I wonder if there's anybody marching in them barefoot.
I'm sure there are. You know, I've seen some footage here and there online, and I've seen a couple. Marchers marching barefoot. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, they're going on all over the place.
I'd like to know what their reasons are, or if it's just out of, sure I'm trying to be a rebel, which of course doesn't help our cause, but.
I think it's for women's rights, protesting about the new president, Donald Trump, that got sworn in. And so it seems like they're going around all over in many different places. In fact, locally around here, I heard on the news there's 200 gathered within 30 miles of here to show their support, you know, for the women's rights and stuff. And in rights for anybody, I guess, that he's trying to take away. I don't really follow politics that much, though, so.
Yeah, and we don't get into politics much on the show. I know that just a whole can of worms that opens up because, everybody has their own political points of view. And, we can sit and debate politics all day. But, you know, it's a dry subject. But, you know, people have a right to protest. People have a right to stand up for what they believe. And, of course, we never want to discourage that. It's important, you know. Now, if we can get some of that fire from them behind us, that would, that'd be great.
To
help our cause, you know, if we can rally together as a group and, just hopefully people realize that, you know, we're strong. We want our rights too. I mean, we have the rights. I mean, that's never the issue. I mean, we have the rights. It's just that there's not enough people standing up for our rights.
Yeah, and so that means that people think that we don't have that right and that it's okay to discriminate against us and make us leave a location because we don't have shoes on our feet. And we have the right to not have shoes on our feet. And so even me being a full-time barefooter, I have been asked to leave places. Even after I show them that there is no laws, there is no health code, they still refuse me service. And, you know, what do you do? Can you get a lawyer to take care of it? I write letters to corporate. I get on the internet. I call, you know, trying to inform them. And sometimes they respond back in positive ways. I take it above the person's head, you know, that's trying to initially cause the problem usually.
Yeah. That's a good point you brought up as far as what do you do? And we've had a lot of listeners ask that question. As far as, you know, do we write letters? Do we, you know, file a complaint? Do we call a lawyer? There's actually a lot of agencies out there that will, support you when you're discriminated against. I mean, there's the ACRU and ACLU, America Civil Rights Union and the America Civil Liberties Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have offices. There's also the ADA, the U.S. Department of Justice. So that you can go there, file a complaint. And, you know, a lot of businesses don't know that, I mean, these fines are, you know, when they choose to discriminate against a customer because of their religious, cultural, or medical reasons, that they are liable for, you know, a claim to be filed against them, an action to be taken. I mean, if you go to the website for the civil rights organizations or the Americans with Disabilities on the U.S. Department of Justice website, there's a simple form to fill out. I think it's 11 or 15 questions, if I remember right. And most of it is just about what happened. And most of the information is just what you know, who you are and how they get in touch with you.
Yeah.
You know, people need to start doing that. When a business starts getting fined $50,000 to $70,000 because they're not in compliance with what the laws really are, then they're going to start realizing that, you know, they need to change their ways, and shame on them.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they believe that the world is probably still flat. I mean, you know, if they believe this, sometimes I've just come straight out and said, you believe in unicorns too. I mean, it just look at them like it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. You know, the thing that they're afraid of, though, and, you know, is they want to be all powerful. They're overzealous employees. They think they know it all. They're put in a position of power probably for the first time in their lives. Or they've just been in a position of power for so long, they think that whatever they say to a customer goes. That's not the case. You know, without the customer, they're not going to make any money. And when the way they treat a customer costs them so much money in those heavy fines, when a report like that or claim is filed with any of those agencies, they're going to start paying attention. And that's something that we need to do more of.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Can anybody file a complaint or against that, or does it have to be the person that was discriminated against?
Anybody who is a victim of discrimination can file the complaint.
I mean,
there are other avenues.
Can, like, we file a complaint for somebody else who maybe doesn't have a computer or something like that?
We can help them with the form. We can fill out the complaint for them. We can do that.
Oh, yeah.
As just someone acting on behalf of, but okay. That person would need to, you know, be the victim of discrimination or, you know, anything like that. We just can't say that so-and-so had this issue and we're doing this on their behalf. They need to come to us and say, I don't have a computer, but I want to fill out this form. And can someone help
me?
And that we can do as a group. We can do that for our members. That's
okay.
What we're here
for.
That's... We're here to support them. Yeah.
Good.
We just can't make it be like someone told us something happened and then we file the complaint. They have to be the ones filing the complaint. So.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering about that. I wrote those down so I can pass them on to people.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be acting as an agent of that person. You know,
yeah. Technically. I've had people come up and tell me, you know, I was kicked out of so-and-so for being barefoot, and so now I know, tell them go there, you know, and file a complaint against them, because I usually call, I look it up and call the corporation or whoever is, you know, above whoever could kick me out, you know. A lot
yeah.
of things I
and,
get, they don't want to be responsible for my feet. That's what I get a lot.
Yeah, when actually in reality, according to the law, they are responsible if they make you wear something that you normally don't wear. So if you get hurt in the establishment because they made you do something that you normally do not do, or you suffer any injuries, they assume the duty of care.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's no different than if you have an old lady in a walker, and I've used this analogy many times, or someone on in a cast that needs crutches. If you... tell that person that they cannot have crutches because they can think of it. Oh, well, you can't have crutches. That's a weapon. Now, someone who you're standing between them getting food to survive and, you know, it doesn't make sense, because then if they're saying that in order for you to eat, you need to do this, you're most likely going to do what it takes to eat.
Right.
Survival instinct. So now if you give them your crutches and you get injured, whether you're crawling on the floor on your hands and knees trying to get over to a watermelon or an onion, you know, or, you know, you're not able to get a jar off the shelf and everything falls down on you in your struggle because you're doing something that you typically cannot do without the aid or anything else, you know, they assume the duty of care at that rate. And then they're negligent because you can link them between, you know, the breach of that duty of care and the actual harm done if you get injured. So if you normally don't wear shoes and all of a sudden you slip on the floor, you're like, well, I told them I can't walk around with shoes on. Of course, I told them I was going to get hurt, you know, or I told them I can't do it medically. I'm not able to, or, you know, I haven't worn them in so long. You know, I have no balance and, you know, I got hurt. And to most states, it's only, you know, 51% that you have to prove. It's not a beyond a reasonable doubt situation. It's in civil court, most likely a preponderance of the evidence. And it all varies between different states.
Okay.
As far as, you know, what you need to prove and what percentage you need to prove to link the negligence to the actual harm and, you know, the actual harm or damages in that case. And that's just a little bit of legal end of that as far as the duty of care laws. But there are provisions in most statutes and most laws that are out there when it comes to the ADA, civil rights and all that legislation and laws that a company must make adjustments in their policies. And if they do not, then they're in violation. And that's a whole other round. And that's where the fine can be assessed, as well as just the actual act of them discriminating against you based on any kind of belief, cultural, medical, religious, anything like that issue that you may have. So there's multiple parts. And I mean, some cases, I mean, have even gone as far as customers suing a business owner because a business owner made some other customer wear shoes because that person was the business owner assumed the duty of care for everybody at that rate. So if someone that normally doesn't wear shoes knocked someone else over and they got hurt, well, then the business owner is still liable. If they didn't have balance or they were not able to wear them for whatever reason, but they insisted that they do in order to be in the establishment, well, then not just the person who was forced to wear any type of footwear where they normally wouldn't, if they get hurt, but also any other customer that could incur any injury or harm to them because something may have happened with that customer. So if someone, you know, just like taking the walker away or the crutches, if someone pulled down a whole shelf and five other people got hurt, well, now the business owner can be sued by six people, the person who actually did it and the five other people that were injured in that incident because they're making them do something that they normally wouldn't do.
Okay.
So a business owner assumes a lot of risk and, you know, by making a customer do something that they would normally not do in that situation. And a lot of them don't understand that. But, you know, I mean, now we as barefooters don't walk around as lawsuit happy people. I mean, we would never sue a business if we step on a piece of glass, stub our toe, or drop something on our foot, really. I mean, not that I don't understand how a little thong on a flip-flop would protect anybody from, we'll say, a jar or something or an apple falling on our toe. I mean, it's crazy to think that a little strap or something has such magical properties. It's like a magic force field around you that'll protect you. It doesn't make any sense. So just that logic alone is just ridiculous, and they assume the duty of care because they're giving you the false impression and a false sense of security. They're misrepresenting something that you would be completely safe if you were wearing this. And if you choose to wear that, assuming that you're going to be completely safe based on what you're told, well, then they're still liable if you get injured.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's another way the law works on that one too.
I find that if I'm in a business barefoot, I've walked right up to like a wet spot, and I can tell immediately I'm stepping in it, you know, because it's wet. And people with shoes on, they walk right through it and then fall down. And I'm like, oh, wait, there's water here, you know. And I'm coming. I've had them complain to me, well, you're barefoot. Well, if I wasn't barefoot, I would have fallen down. You should be lucky, thankful that I was. So I told you the water was there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing sometimes, you know, I mean, I know that when I come across, like I've gone into stores all my life, I mean, for 15 years barefoot, and I, you know, have come across the same situation. I've seen customers literally like just walk right through a puddle of water and just all of a sudden catch themselves or slide or something. Whereas as soon as I feel it underneath my foot, I change my posture. I change my walk. I change my gait. I change the way I'm walking because I immediately feel that. Your body is aware of a sense of danger around you, and you adjust accordingly. Whereas you're not just going to carelessly or recklessly or, you know, as you normally would with a false sense of security, walk right through that danger, not being aware of the complete situation. So right. Barefooters have a higher situational awareness. They have a higher sense of you know, what's happening around them in their environment. They're more cautious of where they walk. And there's so many issues that are attributed to people that wear shoes. So many injuries, just from heels to sandals to flip-flops, sneakers. I mean, you name it. So many lawsuits from that. And right. there's barely any that exist because someone was barefoot. And we as barefooters that want a right to go barefoot, that enjoy our freedom, too, we're not lawsuit-happy people at all.
Oh, no, no. We just want to be able to enjoy sitting down at a restaurant and eat like anybody else without having the manager come up and tell us we need to leave, you know, or go get shoes on. That's all. We're not doing nothing. Our feet's underneath there minding their own business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're not sitting there eating with our feet. In fact, I've seen some interesting videos of people that don't have arms that do use their feet for a lot of things, everything from playing guitar to eating their food.
Yeah.
But they use forks and knives just like we use hands.
Yep.
So, you know, I'd like to see how they would make someone eat at a restaurant if they required them to wear shoes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be something there.
Yeah.
I call them out on their... And they don't like it.
Yeah. And because, of course, they lose their position of power. Because when you, you know, when you tell someone they're wrong and they think they're right, they think that they can do anything in their power to, you know, keep convincing you that they're right. And then they exercise authority by just saying, okay, leave. Because they can't argue that. Once they know they're wrong, it's not like they can just hang up the phone on you.
They don't have the right to leave.
Yeah, no, they don't. And we got a call from Kevin. Do you want to bring some of our callers on the air, see if they have any stories or questions?
I've never done that before, so I'll let you do that.
All right. Well, I got Kevin, who's every time I go to catch him, he moves somewhere. I lose him, and then he calls back in. So I'm going to see if we can get him on the air just in case he has to get to work, because I know that he's a very busy man. He serves this country, and we're thankful for his service and everything that he does. And longtime caller, listener of the show. Kevin, you're on the Barefoot is Legal show with Lava and Nick, and how are you this weekend?
Hey, everything's great.
Great. Glad to hear it. So we're coming down to the bottom of the hour. If you got 5 minutes of story, we can also bring it back after the break. What you got going on?
Actually, now I have too much going on this week. You know, I'm just been busy with just work, you know, honestly, which basically, because the hours that I work, you know, I have to be in those boots, my size 12 steel toe boots. That I'm required to wear because it's part of my uniform. But hey, you know, because I need money in my pocket, I deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. What are you cooking for the troops this weekend?
Technically, I'm off, but I'm about to go in for a few hours and cover for somebody. So I'm not even sure what's for lunch or dinner today. To be honest, I'm not sure what's on the menu.
Man, the mystery, you'll figure it out, I guess. And,
I'll figure it out. And to Miss Lava, is it?
Yeah,
Lava's here with us, new co-host.
And it's nice to have you on the show.
Oh, yes,
and,
I'm glad.
Great. So all the stories that I've been sitting back, you know, listening to the to the show and how you've been being kicked out of stores and stuff like that, and I still find it amazing because like some people are not having trouble that other people are having, you know, like for example I've been reading stories on the Facebook page how people have been, like, of all places, Walmart. People being approached by a Walmart employee or whatever, or been kicked out of this store and out of that store. And then again, I turn around and be like, you know, I haven't had a problem at Walmart. So how come this person would have a problem at Walmart? Or one person say, well, I have had an issue at a library. Or another person would say, I haven't had an issue at my local library. So it's like, how is people having different problems at the same company or establishment, you know, which completely amazes me.
Training.
So, huh?
Lack of training in employees.
Yes, exactly, because there's this grocery store chain called Food Lion. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah,
because I live in Virginia, so that's one of our one of the main grocery stores here in the area. So a couple of weeks, actually going back to 2015, I believe it was. Yeah, it was 2015. When I just moved to a new apartment and I went to this local Food Line that I'd never even been to before. So I went in there, started going in there barefoot and with no issues at all, you know, saying nobody came up to me and junk like that. And all of a sudden I'm shopping one day and these two employees, especially this guy, I'm almost done. I'm on the other side of the store. And I guess they finally noticed, and this dude comes up to me and talk about, oh, you must wear shoes. It's a health issue. And then I like, well, is it in store policy? They're like, yes, it's store policy. You know, now of course, I was not good at confrontation or educating the masses and stuff like that. So basically, what happened? I wrote to them. And which I still have that letter that they sent me. They said that even though they say yes, it's in their policy, but they will accommodate customers for personal and religious reasons. So basically, hey, I started to go back barefoot with not an issue at all. One of the employees that approached me was one of the managers, but not the manager. Okay, so fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, I was in the same store. I was approached by the grocery manager, again not the store manager, who said, "You need to have shoes on your feet. There could be glass, so I'll let you go this time, but next time have shoes on your feet." So. What I did something I haven't done before. I called the corporate office. I called the customer service number. I'm like, you know, I want to know, is there a dress code? Because I was approached by this manager and yada, yada, yada. You know, and he said that the letter that they sent me is still valid. So they will accommodate customers for personal religious reasons. So if I have any more issues, just call them and let them know. So I count that as a small victory. So, and I was also telling the customer service person that, you know, I think that the corporate office, you know, should educate y'all employees and y'all's managers for this kind of issue, because there are no laws and stuff like that. And we all know, and we're preaching to the choir when we talk about lack of education. You know, everybody wants to believe that there is a law or something like that, and there isn't one. Or they want to believe that is store policy, but there isn't one. Y'all don't even know if there is one. You know, and the excuses that we always get there could be broken glass, it's a health issue, and it's private property. And all this other stuff, you know. Just like I was telling Mr. Nick Pierce, you know, we were discussing this. You know, if you believe that there's broken glass, why aren't you sending somebody to clean it up? You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous how you're going to say that is a safety issue, but flip flops or open toed shoes don't protect your feet at all. You know, now if I want to go as far as the safety issue. Okay, well, you know what? Why just worry about one body part? can I not scrape my hand on your shelf, or what if some flying debris hits me in the face? You know, where's the safety? I got nothing covering my face. I got nothing covering my arms.
It really goes to that what Lava was saying, how it's almost like a lack of training. And in your situation with the Food Lion, how they're not educating the employees, and you know, I mean, they're just not passing that information down the way it's supposed to. And you know, it also comes to an individual and their beliefs, unfortunately. We're coming to the bottom of the hour. A quick commercial break. When we come back on the lines with Kevin, with me co-hosting today, Lava. And if you want to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208 here on the Barefoot is Legal show with Lava and Nick Pierce. We'll be right back.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Hi, everyone. Here's a sponsor that you can help save yourself some money and find new places to check out. SaveAround is a very popular coupon book throughout most major U.S. cities. With SaveAround, you get buy one, get one free restaurants, discounts on many department stores, car rentals, flowers, etc. With SaveAround, you not only fund our network, you help fund your family and save yourself some money while eating out. I have a family of four. A decent meal is upwards of $60 for us, and if I could save $10 to $15 while taking out the family, I am very happy. You can view these books in your area before buying. Please check out freedomizerradio.com and our barefootislegal.org website for the link. Check out the new book, click on your city, and in a few days, you will be saving yourself some cash with your new SaveAround book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
And welcome back to our final half hour together on the Barefoot is Legal radio show. Again, 319-527-6208 to listen, or just push 1 to be on the air. Listening. With me here is Lava, co-host for the weekend, and also we were taking a call from Kevin, so welcome back to the show. And Lava, I think Kevin has something he wants to ask us. I think we're talking about during the break. So, Kevin, welcome back. And you were telling us a story, and I know you had a couple of questions.
Yes, you know, as a matter of fact, I do. I was also saying when we was talking about the duty of care thing, you know, you know, as far as the broken glass issue again, if you believe there's broken glass, why are you not cleaning it up? And, you know, wearing flip-flops or open-toed shoes really doesn't protect you from anything falling on your feet. But the way I see it is, like, as long as you have something on your feet, you know, so they're worried about one body part. You know, okay, so I'll put on flip-flops. Okay, y'all okay with that? But if something falls on my foot and I'm bleeding to death, I ain't gonna say bleeding to death, but if something falls on my foot and I'm bleeding, you know, are y'all liable for that? You know, even though it wasn't my fault that it fell on my foot, you know,
That. So it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the first segment or the second segment there, the top of it. What they're doing is they're representing something, giving you a false sense of security, and telling you that, hey, you're going to be fine if you do this. And then if something does happen, then they're liable at that point.
Yeah, because look, I'm not wearing my work boots just to go into the store, because y'all talk about it's for a safety issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can still get hurt even wearing boots.
That's true. I mean, especially steel toe boots. I've heard stories where, like, a forklift has run over someone's foot and cut their toe right off from the steel toe in the boots.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to last week, you said that it was illegal for a business to put up the no shirt, no shoes, no service sign, or a shirt and shoes required sign. And of course, in my research, I mean, of course, I know you said that some business will put up by the order of the health department, which is a false representation. But now we don't. Now I don't. At least in my area or experience, I don't see that. I just see the nurse, no shirt, no shoes, no service. But it's mostly shirt and shoes required sign. So if it is illegal, okay, is there any documentation that we can find or provide to show them that, hey, y'all can't put that shirt and shoes required sign up? Is against the law?
It is against the law in some cases, and this is how. It says no shirt, no shoes required, or shirt and shoes required, or no shirt, no shoes by order of the health department. Then what they're doing is they are misrepresenting an agency and pretty much representing something incorrectly. It does not need to be intentional for a case of misrepresentation in the eyes of the law. It just needs to be false. So a statement made, whether it's with conscious ignorance or with disregard of the truth, once it's brought to their attention, can create liability on the owner to prove misrepresentation. And as far as if they continue to use that sign, and you would say it's kind of deprive a victim of any legal right using something like that, that's considered fraud. Because fraud is, most people think is fraud as it's a deliberate deception to secure an unfair, unlawful gain, as it's defined. It's also defined as depriving a victim of a legal right. So if you're a victim to something like that, and they're denying your legal right to a service or something, representing that it's a health department requirement using another agency to perpetuate that myth or perpetuate that fraud, even through misrepresentation, one could be criminal, one could be civil. Fraud in most cases, depending on what it is, can be criminal. Misrepresentation is more of a civil case. Misrepresentation is a lot easier to prove because, again, 51% preponderance of evidence versus in most criminal cases, it's burden of proof is a reasonable doubt situation. And I hope that answered your question. So that's pretty much what the issue is as far as where it falls into the legal realm and how it is illegal. Now, anybody once it's brought to their attention that continues to misrepresent something, so in other words, once you say that this is false and they continue to use that, that can, find, you gotta get down to what the reason behind it is, really. If they have something in writing, such as by order of the health department, that's one thing. If they just have a policy and it blatantly discriminates against any particular group of people, that's a whole other thing. That violates other laws when it comes to civil rights and disability law.
That's what I was kind of getting into. You know, so like I said, you see mostly the shirt and shoes required. So I'm thinking, okay, yes, it's obviously in their policy, they got it posted right there on the front door or the window or something. So and if it is, illegal for them to put that one little sentence in their policy, then they need to know about it. They need to be educated about it, and they need to change take that out of their policy.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we're trying to advance. We're trying to get in touch with these companies, which we've had very successful letter writing campaigns about, and companies are changing those policies. Over the past 10 years alone, there's been so many businesses that have removed those signs to ensure that their customers do not feel isolated, discriminated against, or refuse service because of the laws. And it's just a matter of bringing it to their attention. But you will always have employees within an organization that feel that, and because they believe that the health department or the law or something exists that says that someone has to have shoes on in order to be served. And that brings me to a segment that I'm going to throw out here real quick, because by popular demand, people have been asking for it. And I, for the past 2 weeks, have been promising that I would do a quick How We Handle Them segment. So, Lava, Kevin, everybody, if you want to hang in there, I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way before we run out of time on the show. And it's pretty much just a scenario that could play out in some of these situations as far as when we're confronted, when people are confronted for living the barefoot lifestyle, and sometimes how businesses treat them, and almost like a little humor. I call this segment How We Handle Them. So enjoy this one real quick.
And now it's time to play How Do We Handle Them?
I am next in line at the register.
Excuse me. I can't serve you without shoes.
Oh. hear that. I can't juggle fire. But you're barefoot? Oh, well. I would probably start by using my hands to practice juggling at first anyway. I mean, I cannot ring you up and collect your money. Well, maybe we should join a support group to help us in our flaws. For now, why don't you try to use the cash register without shoes on your hands?
And there we have it. Finally, by popular demand, everybody, you had your segment of another installment of How We Handle Them. It's a little bit of humor to break up some of our heavy legal conversations and all that. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard those segments before, but we throw those out there once in a while. Just those scenarios that some of us probably have in our heads when we have confrontations.
Yeah.
And just a little humor to throw out there. And, of course, you brought Kevin back on with us, too, because it's always great having him on the show. Well, Glover, hey, you want to...
I was going to mention about that, about the no shirt, no shoes, no service sign. I have been in a store before and had the manager come up to me and tell me that it's a policy or it's a health code or whatever, and I'll rebuttal them. And then they go away, and they come back, and they say, see, there's a sign, and they've literally taken a permanent marker and wrote on a piece of paper to put on their front door. And I'm blown away at the ignorance of these people who do this. And I'm like, you are so discrimination against me. You're discriminating against me in a public place. You don't have that right. And I guess that's what we need to know is what is there a law we can look up or print out or something to show them, or what do we have to do to get their attention, keep filing civil rights violations against them and, until something changes.
There is. There's a copy of the law that I carry around the thing in my pocket. It's just a copy of places of public accommodation, as well as the actual civil right card. I have it in two different formats. I have it on a, printed out. That I always kind of throw in my pocket along with my wallet. Now, it's funny because every once in a while I have to print it because I carry it around so much and it's just paper that I end up printing it out like almost every year because I carry it around so much. However, thankfully I haven't had to use it in quite some time. But it's kind of one of those things I always carry with me because you never know when you're going to need it. It's the one time you don't have something that you need it. So I'm kind of like one of those, better to be prepared than unprepared. Better to have something and not need it than not have it and need it. But also, on our Facebook group, I did post the places of public accommodation law. It's in two different – it's all in PDF format. You can load it onto your cell phone, mobile device. You can print it out if you want to have a hard copy because some folks like to use their cell phone to document the incident when they're a victim to something like that. So having a hard copy helps. This way you can have your camera phone rolling and – something like that is great to carry on you. There's two different versions of it. There's the full law, Title II. There's also a condensed version of the most important parts that really pertain to us, really, as far as what a place of public accommodation is, what a business owner is required to do, and modification of the policy and the fines if they do not or give you a problem. That typically stops them dead in their tracks. As far as the health department issue, and if there's a good crowd around, I like to say that you're racist and because you know where that came from. And if, that's all ignorance and blah, 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 blah. No one likes being called out in public like that. And that normally stops them dead in their tracks. That's another segment I have of How We Handle Them. That was one of the first ones I've done, which maybe I'll bring back next week as far as that issue. But having a copy of that, it's on the bill or the Barefoot is Legal Facebook group. and it's in the file section as far as public accommodation. And I'm also working on the new civil rights cards that you can print out. Some people have gone to different printing companies, printed out 25 or a dozen of them or 100 of them, depending on what they want to do. Any bulk printing place, Staples Office, Max Office Depot, all that, do printing. They can print out short runs just to have a few, pretty cheap. And it has a copy of what the statute is for your state. And it also defines, you know, what the law says. It's a summary. And if you want to file a complaint, the contact information for the Civil Rights Division is on there. And sometimes just carrying that with you. You know, there's copies of the health department letters that exist online as well to different states that do say that there is nothing that says patrons or anybody have to wear shoes for the most part. And having a copy of that in your pocket, it's almost like you got to go out armed with the law. You have to go out armed with, you know, some of those paper or digital weapons to defend your rights. Unfortunately,
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, because
we have to be prepared when it does.
You know, because matter of fact, a couple of people that posted on the group talking about they used those the civil rights cards that are on airfortis.org, and they actually had a success with those cards. So
yes,
so
they do.
So I got one. So I downloaded one. Of course, it's in my cell phone. One for Virginia and one for the state of Florida because I'm originally from Florida. So people actually had some success using those barefoot rights cards. So basically, I did go to the website to try and read up on the Civil Rights Act and all that stuff. Even though I can't really remember it, you know, I still have to go back every now and again and look it up. And for the lizards out there, just go to barefooters.org and look it up for your state.
Yeah, and we're redoing the cards, or at least I'm sitting doing the cards, doing an updated, revised version of them that kind of stipulates and specifies things a little differently. That I find to be a little more effective in the ones that I made for my own state. And little by little, when I first posted the one for my state, I noticed that other people requested dates of theirs. So in order that they were requested, I'm going to start posting the revised copies on the Barefoot is Legal page. And also our webmaster will be posting them on barefootislegal.org for everybody to enjoy and take advantage of. So I'm glad you brought that up, and something that I really have to keep moving on. Little by little, they're getting done. But
yeah, I'll be excited to see them coming up.
Yeah, and I'm loading them up there as I think it's 6 per page or 8 per page business card size if you want to just print them out or send them over to a print place and have a short run made for you. And I'm also loading a digital image in a JPEG format that'll – you know, you can load to your photo gallery on your phone to have with you if you don't want to carry around paper. So
okay.
That's cool.
Compatible
Android,
iPod, all that.
You know, also, I don't think nobody has brought this up because actually, I'm gonna say this: when I was approached to by a court Dollar General, I asked them, you know, how I would even when I wrote to them. I would even ask to sign a waiver, and that didn't go nowhere. So in addition, I know a lot of people, actually very few people, will actually do that. But you know, I don't think it would hurt to ask to sign a waiver. You know, just so they would take the heat off them. I guess because they still think, you know, if we cut our foot, you know, saying we're liable, and we know that's. We know that's not true, so yeah, it's not a bad idea to ask to sign a waiver if they agree to it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great topic to throw on a future show because there's a lot that can be discussed about that, a lot to share about when it comes to limited liability waivers and all that. And that's a great point, Kevin. Just to you know, maybe do a whole segment on that, maybe next week. And we have a couple minutes left if you want to share anything before we run out of time. I'm sure you probably got a lot built up.
I was listening to the Dollar General thing. I walked into a Dollar General the other day, stopped before I even got to the front door by the manager saying I can't come in barefoot. I said, really? Dollar General's policy says that if a customer comes in barefoot, they should be allowed to finish their purchase and tell them on their way out that please return with shoes on next time. Not to even come in. She said, oh, no, you can't come in. So it amazes me that I know policies for corporations better than their managers do.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's almost like we read the training manuals and they didn't. And it's crazy. And that's a company that, like Kevin was saying, with the liability waivers and all that, they're so afraid to engage in any legal confrontation or any waiver of anything that is a prime target for these cases to be filed and action to be taken against. So that eventually they do change their ways. Because right now you're just dealing with a bunch of stuffed suits with empty golf bags that don't make decisions. And we got to change that. And that's the platform we have. And we need to step up and step our game up and just say, listen, enough's enough. And I went on a whole thing on a previous episode about filling out the comments. If you do shop in Dollar General, they have the surveys on the bottom of the receipts. So if enough people fill those out, there's different techniques I discussed on a previous episode with that. I think it was last week. If anybody wants to go back and listen to the archives on freedomizerradio.com, feel free to check those out. And also post something about that in the group for the members that aren't able to listen.
Oh, yeah. And also, Ms. Lava, I heard you talk about the farmer's market is a good place for newbies to start going barefoot. Is that a grocery store?
Well, here in Texas, on Saturdays, they have a farmer's market around the little squares in most towns around. And anybody who grows fruit and vegetables or makes homemade products can go and set up there. And sometimes they're indoors and sometimes they're outdoors. They're just like a little booth type thing with fruits, vegetables, homemade products, lip balms, and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Because now here's a good place. Here on the East Coast, there's a store called Kroger. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
A chain called Kroger.
Because near my neighborhood Kroger, I went in there one time, and I went to the produce section. Of course, I wouldn't been there barefoot before. I went to the produce section, and I somehow, or should I say accidentally, was talking to the store manager, and I didn't realize until I saw his tag, his badge or whatever. You know, and he was like, are you sure you want to come in here? I forgot how it went, but he said something along the lines of we keep our forests clean and stuff like that. But the one thing I took from that small conversation is that he said that he would not make me leave. So I told him, hey, why would you make me leave? I choose to spend my money here, you know what I'm saying? So I thank you for letting the customers enjoy this ultimate shopping experience. So that tells me that store manager, I don't know if it's in their policy or not, but apparently he was cool with it, because he didn't say, oh, it's a safety issue, or there's glass on the floor. He just simply said, oh, we keep our floors clean. So I'm like, well, that's good.
Yeah. And they, in my experience, we have Kroger around by us. Never had issues there. And there's, as far as I know, nothing in their policy from any communication I've had with them or any interaction with the employees. Lava, last 1 minute left in the show. If you want it, it's yours.
No, go ahead. I'm good.
All righty. Well, hey, we are out of time this week. And I'd like to thank Lava, co-host, for joining me today, our callers, Kevin, and hope we all had a great time. Again, check out our Facebook page, Barefoot is Legal. and our group, Barefoot is Legal, as well. Our website, barefootislegal.org. And again, you can listen to these shows on Freedomizer Radio Network. Go to freedomizerradio.com. And until next week, thanks for tuning in. I'm Nick Pierce, my co-host, Ms. Lava. And thanks for joining in. Everybody have a happy and safe, wonderful Barefoot Week. Until we meet again.